All right, let's move on to a stranger in these parts. Betsy Douglas has her hand raised. Betsy Douglas, you're on. Mom?
I have a question for Eric,
yes.
Who says that one of his goals is to align the competition levels in the U.S. with what happens in Scotland. And I'm wondering what plans are in the works to make that happen.
Eric, that's sure. A question for you.
Yeah. In terms of, I think that there's a lot of things that are in place right now in the works of being able to do that. This shift with the grade 4 band requirements is a big step in that direction. And I think the grading committee this year has done a really good job of trying to be thoughtful when making their upgrades and selecting who would go upgraded. I know that in chatting with the people who were involved in that, those decisions, no one at any level was just upgraded because they asked, which, of course, you always get a lot of grief for from certain people. But, I think that the intent there has been to try and, as best we can, maintain and push and preserve and push the standard here at home in the U.S.
Well, thanks, Eric. One of my ideas has been to encourage the games as they're setting up their judging is to bring judges from outside of the USPA. Is there been any discussion of that at the AGM?
Tons. You're on a hot topic here right now, Betsy. Which is regarding guest judges coming in from outside the association.
Uh-oh.
And
watch out.
We are there's some language currently written in the sanctioning package that I feel is a little bit contradictory to what it is that we're trying to do in the association. And I can tell you that the music board and executive committee are currently working to try and figure out how we can improve the language in the sanctioning packet and readdress the policy itself to not necessarily make it so that we're in any way suggesting that you shouldn't hire EUS PBA judges, but to make it so that if games are interested in hiring judges from other parts of the world, that they are able to do so, and it doesn't seem quite so condemned as I feel like some of the current wording does.
Excellent. Thanks, Eric.
Good question, Mom. We're going to go on to Jeff Mann here just in a moment. That being said, a couple of people are in with the text questions about they want to know, Eric, if there's anything in the works for the 2011 EUS PBA Championship.
Good question. I can tell you that one of the things that we set out as a new executive committee when we were all voted in or stayed in a couple of weeks ago, now I guess it'd be 3 or 4 weeks ago now, was sort of a setting up a game plan. And the game plan that we set up was the first projects that we had to address were any items that were sent to the executive committee for review that affected rule changes for the upcoming year. And then also about in dealing with regrading. And then the other issues, most of which have to do with money and the way that we spend our money and the finances. And over the last several years, the EUS PBA, generally speaking, spends the same amount of money each year. And as I understand that, generally speaking, in an association where that typically has the same expenses year in and year out, regularly setting up a budget isn't really necessary because you're always spending the same types of money every year. And one of the things that I have been interested in doing is getting a better financial picture for how all our money is spent. And so right now, Jim Roberts, who is the treasurer, is in the process of pulling all this information together so that come the new year, we as an executive committee, along with all the branch chairs who we hope to be involved in this discussion, can look at how much money we have and exactly where we want to be able to spend all the money that we do have. I am personally of the opinion that last year we spent a lot of money on our EUS PBA championship, and I'm not really sure it was very effective. And I think that there may be better ways that we can spend our money to do this. We also have some other committees who are looking into ways to develop, to address both solo competition and band competition on a regional, league basis type idea. And these are projects that are in the works. So the plan is in the new year, get a financial picture and then figure out how we're going to spend our money. That's the short answer.
Cool. Thanks. Really good to know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, one more quickie from the audience before we move on to the next hand. What is the average attendance at the AGMs?
Jeez, I couldn't even tell you. I think this year there might have been 30 or 40 people there.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And then what, previous years, what was there last year? I was here in Albany.
It was about the same, I think.
Yeah, so roughly, certainly 50 or less.
Oh, yeah, I mean, definitely.
The Kaylee might be slightly more populated than the actual event.
It might actually
I remember
be
I was at the Kaylee last year, but not at the event.
Yeah, I think you might actually be right. It did get a little bit busier towards the end of the day, though.
It did.
People were arriving for the cake.
It's fair to say that at the moment here on our webinar, we have the same, if not more, than actually attended the EOSPBA AGMs.
Yeah, which I think brings up a very interesting topic. I think the biggest reason people don't travel to the meeting is that it's just, it's far. It's a hike. And I think it's, the fact that so many people are interested over the technology is, interesting. Food for thought.
Cool. We're going to go to Jeffrey Mann. Hey, Jeff, can you hear us?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. Eric, first of all, congratulations.
Thanks very much.
And I think that what you and Andrew are doing here is a great leap in technology for all of us.
Yeah, thanks.
The question that I had is, Eric, what do you think are the issues that you will be primarily focusing on during your administration? And additionally, how do you see your role and relationships with the other pipe band associations in North America as well as the RSPBA?
Foreign policy,
oof,
I love it.
Good question. Regarding local stuff, one of the things that I am very interested in here is within the EUSPBA is figuring out how it is that we're going to be dealing with finances and as that relates to branch activity. One of the things I was talking about earlier on is how big I think our current pipe band association is, and I feel like there is a format in place within our association to address local membership needs with the branch setup. But at the moment, I'm not sure that we are getting our biggest bang for the buck, so to speak. I'm not sure they're working efficiently or as effective as they could be. And so I'm hoping that we can work to try and improve the way that branches are able to work for the local membership and deal with the regional issues in our association to make that work, to try and compensate for the fact that we are so big and there's no way for the main body to single-handedly deal with every issue throughout the association. Regarding other pipe band associations and the RSPBA, I can tell you that in the first few weeks here of my presidency, I have not been in touch at all with any of the other pipe band associations. Something that I'm sure will change in the coming months. I am very active with the pipe band and do a lot of traveling with the band throughout the country. And the band has also made a point to travel over to Scotland. And I certainly hope that that I can make an effort to reach out and open communication and, improve that during my presidency. If that answers your question.
That's excellent.
Do we have any more questions from the floor? Here's one from the text. Could the AGM be put on a webinar? And I'll answer this one for Eric. As long as the dojo can host it and put lots of advertisements in, then absolutely. Is that fair to say?
I think that's slightly joking there. That's a very interesting question. And
But would the attend? Oh, here's follow up. Would the attendees be considered part of the quorum?
Oh, that's a good. That's
a very interesting legal question.
That's a very good question. I don't know the answer to that question, but certainly a good question. Certainly food for thought here, especially as we gear up next year. This coming November 2011, the AGM is scheduled to be in the Southwest Branch. Wow. So
we're going. You
know, so
shorts, sunscreen.
Figuring out a way to Andrew might definitely be onto something here.
We're going to move on to Kathy Brownell. Hey, Kathy, where are you calling from?
I'm calling. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, I'm in central Maine, China, grade 3 Piper. And Eric, you've mentioned several times the huge size of our district.
Yes.
Do you foresee maybe it may at some point be a good idea to divide into two separate areas?
Well, that's a very interesting question.
Or three.
I can tell you at the moment that is not something that is on my agenda immediately in front of me. I am very sensitive to the fact that the association is very large, and I feel like at the moment, one of our weaknesses as an association is that we are so large, but I think that we can improve that in the way that through our branch structure. The Northeast branch, which you are a part of up in Maine, is a considerably much more manageable area and community for you to be actively involved in. And I think looking for ways to improve the way that the branch is able to interact and be involved and serve the membership would certainly help address this problem and concern.
Any more thoughts, Kathy?
No, not at this time.
Thanks very much.
Thanks very much. Any more hands out there, folks? We could always, we could probably wrap it up here pretty soon, but if there's any last questions,
drum corps practice coming up here pretty soon.
Yeah, I've got drum corps practice here. Okay, John Scott, this will be the last question, unless there's outrage, which you can type to me. Okay. John, you're on. Can you hear us? Oh, Kayla Harper says she's outraged.
Oop.
Hey, John. Hello. John, are you there? We can hear you now, I think.
All right. Excellent.
Can you tell us where you're from, John?
Yeah. I'm the pipe sergeant of the Louisville Pipe Band, Louisville, Kentucky.
All right.
Not a solo competitor. But I had a follow-up to Brian's comments about adjudication.
Sure.
I helped to run the Glasgow Highland Games down at Barron River, Kentucky. And what happens down there, we sometimes have a midsection judge for band contests, especially when we've had soloists in the morning. We'll ask the midsection judge to do, comments only for the band contest.
Love it. Great idea.
So it might be an addition to the judging panel.
Yeah, I think that there is definitely – I think you could be onto something very cool here. I think that the PBBSO has implemented a system like this in Ontario where they have a midsection judge on the field watching the bands for comments only, scoring the band's the midsection's performance. I can tell you that in my experience teaching and playing in bands, midsection, there's a lot of work that goes in there for often only a few token comments here and there. And in my opinion, I think that the midsection is one of the coolest sounds in the whole band. I love the bass drum. It's my favorite instrument for sure. And
that much was evident when you were like 9 and we were at piping school and you were just like nonstop with the
I think that getting something like that going could be very cool, and also might be a great way for games to be able to justify hiring a midsection judge, which would might improve more solo bass and tenor events throughout the association, which right now are few and far between because games struggle to justify bringing in a midsection judge for just the morning solo events when they can't, when they could spend the piping judge.
Right.
And continuing with that thought, one of the things that I thought was really cool about One of the things I thought that was really cool at the band this last year played at the Ulster Championships in Northern Ireland before heading over to the Worlds, and we had a march and a marching and deportment judge write up a sheet about the band, which I thought was very interesting and provided some interesting feedback.
Our quartermaster was shocked.
Some stuff that we just don't normally think of, but it helps to explain why some of these bands come over to the majors from Northern Ireland and why they always look so good. And that's because they're getting feedback on it. And I think that there might be a way for drum majors who are hired to judge the contest and run mass bands might be able to fill a role here also in some way to help our bands on a trial basis, maybe. Anyway, thank you.
John, thanks very much. Thanks very much for your question. We actually have Tyler Fry, who has got his hand up here. Hopefully he'll chime in on some of this midsection stuff. Hey, Tyler, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you guys. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Thanks very much for contributing here.
Yeah, yeah. He actually just asked, I'm sorry, what was the last gentleman's name?
It was John Scott was his name, from Kentucky.
Yeah, thank you. John, I was just about to ask the exact same thing. Andrew, Eric is actually, I'm sorry, correct in that, or they're both correct. How's that, guys? In the fact that we have, as of the last AGM, implemented a midsection adjudicator at all contests. Again, just for feedback only. And it was something we were doing on trial in the PPBSO for the last two seasons. And it was very well received by the member bands and leading drummers, pipe majors, etc. I was just going to say that you guys are, you guys have, over the last 20 plus years, you probably had, and I know you say there's, it's an area requiring further growth in your association, but you've had this tremendous solo tenor drumming scene, believe it or not, in relation to the rest of North America. And games committees are already flying, literally budgeting to fly in bass and tenor drum solo judges to your respective games. And I guess in the back of my mind, I've always thought, man, there's just a prime opportunity there that if they've already gone to that expense, and I know it's not all games. I'm the first one to put up my hand and say I realize that not all games, undergo that type of expense, but there are many that do, and it'd be really neat to be able to see them being able to provide that feedback to the bands, even if there is no direct weighting on the on the overall result. But that's just a comment, just to kind of chime in on John's previous question.
Yeah.
I think that's it was really neat that it came up, John. Thanks for asking that. And Eric, any other further comments on that very issue?
No, not really. No, but thanks for sort of chiming in and letting us know what's going on. I'd be curious to see, Tyler, does the in Ontario when they do this, what's the focus of the judges? What are they commenting on? Is it visual, rhythm, one only, both? How does that work?
Yeah, good, really good question. What it does is it uses the four ensemble elements that are used to, well, essentially the U.S. ensemble in the pipe band, all right? So at least in the PPBSO, those four categories are tonal integration, technical integration, musicality, and overall composition. So the tonal side of it deals with the basically tonally what's going on in terms of tuning and tone and if there's, additional harmonic elements being contributed by the bass section to the melody, et cetera, et cetera. So, essentially just the drum sound and tuning as it relates to the overall picture, both within the melody and the snare section. The technical integration, essentially, the way that the bass section is not only coordinated with the melody, but with the snare section as well, technically. But better yet, that's where we've connected the visual element as well. So you can think of, if you have a core going out, you've got two cores that are rhythmically great, so they got great unison going on between, just say across the board. But the core that perhaps integrates that additional technical component of the visual, we've come to the consensus of we'll give them greater weighting simply on the basis that they had a greater, it's like a band attempting more challenging tunes and pulling it off. Yeah. Well, I guess you can say it.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah, the musicality side of it is just dealing with the rhythm, you know, rhythmically, what's going on rhythmically, expression-wise, dynamic-wise, you know, the list goes on. And finally, the overall composition side of it, in the ensemble package, that just deals obviously with sound or the audio component. But we've also, on the score sheet, connected the visual as well there as well. So the overall audio-visual package of what's going on in the bass section. I don't pretend that we have all the answers. I'm just saying that's sort of the way we've approached things at this stage.
And, cool. No, thanks very much, Tyler, for sharing that information. I think that's very interesting and excellent food for thought for how we might be able to improve things in the U.S. PBA. I'm definitely of the opinion that we have a lot of work to continue to do in investing and developing our midsections throughout at all levels throughout the association. And just for people who don't know, Tyler is certainly one of the forefront movers here of tenor drumming in North America. His website, tyfry.com, is a great resource. Tyler is an excellent teacher. I've seen him. Tyler was out here last winter to teach, and we're trying to get him to come back out here again this winter. And, you know, he is a great resource on his website, so for those who are interested.
And Tyler, you've got some sort of contest going on. Do you want to plug it real quick for anyone that might listen to the podcast or something? It's up to you. You don't have to.
Tuesday, you're doing that, Andrew. So. No, I'm just kidding. I just basically got it's essentially a show your best trick contest. It's right on the front of the website that's already been outlined. And we're trying to get you show us your greatest trick, get it up on YouTube, and all the contest criteria is on the site.
Cause I've got
there's three categories, even for non-tenor drummers.
I've got a trick. It's like this thing. It's like I spin the sticks in front of me, like vertically, and it makes like a little wheel thing. You know
yeah, it's not the one that someone's already submitted called Stir in the Soup, is it?
I
just
know.
Checking.
Hey, Tyler, thanks a lot. We're going to wrap it up.
Thanks,
here,
guys.
But thanks again.
Great technology.
Thanks, Tyler. Okay, that's pretty much it. Eric and I are both, I think, starting to lose focus here, so... thanks very much for coming out, Eric.
Yeah, Andrew, thanks. This is very cool. It's a big, I'm very encouraged to see the interest and support that we've had from literally all over. And I think it's very cool. So thanks for inviting me to participate.
Yeah, yeah. And this is brand new technology that we want to use more. So if you're here today participating in the webinar, please, my email address is andrew@pipersdojo.com. And any feedback that you can give about how to improve it or things that didn't quite work or even things that were really successful that we should do more of, that would be really appreciated. Also, we want to thank the Celtic Hall, which is we're in the back room here using their facility and their internet connection. So we want to thank them for doing that. And, of course, thank everybody here for tuning in. It's been really great. So, yeah, thanks a bunch. And we're going to sign off here. And
have a good night.
Yeah, have a good night, folks. Thanks a lot.
Yeah,
we're done.
Beautiful. Cool. Thank you.